We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the UNI Panther Point of View. Tune in each week for a deeper point of view from UNI coaches, student athletes, and UNI insiders. Now, here's the voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Panther Point of View podcast, our chance to enjoy a deeper point of view and insight into UNI Panther athletics from students, coaches, and administrators. On this episode, we talk with a three-time UNI Athletics Hall of Famer between individual and team honors, a two-time NCAA regional participant, three-time All-Conference honoree, and a longtime current assistant coach on the UNI Panther volleyball team, Kim Davis. First and foremost, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on with us.
Hey, Chris. It's so good to talk with you and to get a chance to kind of hang out with you for a little bit.
I mean, that's what things have been like from this position, you know, working at a distance. And if this is what we can do, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, let's go.
Well, looking back at your playing career, you came out of high school and ended up at UNI for volleyball, but you competed in a lot of sports at Carroll High School. Was there any possibility of maybe doing something other than volleyball at the next level?
Actually, yes, there was. To be honest, obviously recruiting was very different back then than it is now. But it was basically heading into my senior season. And I was kind of heading towards that I was going to go play basketball somewhere. That was kind of my plan. I was thinking about basketball. I was possibly even going to go run track somewhere. But heading into that senior year, getting a chance to play volleyball, playing volleyball at the state tournament. It was just a whole different passion for volleyball. And I just wanted to explore that option and go play volleyball somewhere.
Oh, and by the time that you finished your high school career, among other things, a couple of state championships in basketball, runner up for Class 3A Player of the Year. So, I mean, we knew you were pretty good on the court in volleyball and certainly saw that at UNI, but you were pretty good on that other court for basketball in your high school days.
Well, we had a lot of fun. And to be honest, I was very fortunate. You know, like for anybody that knows the years that I had played at UNI, we were just very blessed and very stacked with a lot of great athletes. And lucky for me, it was the same way in high school. We had a lot of great student athletes that were very driven, that, you know, we were all on the same page. So we had a lot of opportunities to do a lot of good things in volleyball and high school and basketball and track and even in softball. So, you know, it's a lot of credit to all my teammates throughout all the years to push me and put up with me and all that fun stuff.
What do you remember about some of those early years of Panther volleyball, that freshman year playing when Bobby was the interim head coach and then those next couple of seasons under the great Roger Robbie Fard?
I remember, you know, as I was making my decision, And stepping into, you know, you and I volleyball for that first preseason, like just being a part of something that was so heavy in tradition and success, and, you know, being able to be selected to be a part of that history and what those girls represented was just an honor for me to begin with. So I was just so excited to do that. And it's kind of interesting because I feel like that even to this day, like it was my job to get there and to contribute to the tradition and to work hard. And, you know, I still feel from that day that I stepped into Panther volleyball till now, like that's a big part of my role. But working, or, you know, stepping into Panther volleyball in my freshman season, you know, it was a group that, you know, Bobby had just become the interim head coach because Araj was overseas in Italy coaching our national team, the U.S. national team. And Bobby stepped in, and we had three juniors basically that were our captains and a whole bunch of freshmen. And it was a pretty special group and a pretty special group of upperclassmen that really drove that team to be successful.
By the time you got to your fifth year, your senior season, you know, Bobby's now the full-time head coach of the program. You're the only senior on the club, but you still have a solid core looking to do some big things. And because of the wonders of the internet, a lot of the UNI volleyball media guides and from other sports are up online. And I'm on the page in that media guide right now where you have all the different notes about, you know, favorite movie, favorite actor, and everything else. Your team goal that you listed for that 2001 season, take UNI volleyball to a new level. How prophetic did that turn out to be for that 2001 season?
I mean, it was pretty special. And, you know, it was something that, you know, we were building. We had worked so hard to get the opportunity, you know, to be against all the opponents that we had faced and to compete. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a goal of ours to just the mindset of that group was, you know, we didn't care who was on the other side of the net. You know, we just wanted to show them what UNI was volleyball was capable of and just compete as best as we could. So that was definitely something that, you know, as I stated, I don't feel like that team wavered off of what we were trying to accomplish. Obviously, 2001, you know, we had a lot of great teams that we played that last match, getting to the Sweet 16, playing Long Beach State on their home court with, you know, basically, I think it was three Olympians on the other side. I mean, that's a pretty big deal to play against that competition.
You know, and backing up from it, a lot of people know kind of the end of the story, getting to that Sweet 16 and that path to the Sweet 16 going through the West Gym and being at home. But what was interesting, just remembering this from past research, it was close in that 2001 MVC championship match to actually losing to Southwest Missouri State. What do you remember about, you know, being down a match point in that fourth set and rallying for that victory?
It was a very big battle. And I just remember, you know, some of the highlight reels that are playing in my head from the UNI volleyball highlight videos, but I remember it being such a tight battle. I remember, I think it was Miranda Weber at the time had made this serve that went slow motion, it seemed like, and in that video down the line and landed in. And I remember, you know, they were saying it was out. But yeah, man, it was a tight one and it was a battle. And they were a really good team as well that season. So yeah, man, what a battle to come out of that.
You know, I remember reading a newspaper account that said that once the team got down to that opposing match point, that you came up with back-to-back kills to set up a set point opportunity, or game point opportunity, as the terminology would have been back then. And that was when Miranda had her serve. And I've seen the video of it. It seems like an optical illusion because it just keeps fading to the right. And then it switches to that view of the ball landing, and you see those two bears jumping out of the way, and it somehow not only just lands in, but like on the inside of that line. You have one girl throwing her hands up looking like, one, trying to sell an alcohol, but two, like, how on earth did the volleyball do that?
I know. I agree with you too. Now thinking back about that too, it was pretty crazy how close it was, and how it was all caught on camera too. So it's kind of funny to look back at that.
First round, UNI versus NIU, get through, battle against Minnesota, drop those first two, and then rally back. Those last few points, you played a significant role in them. What do you remember about the kill that kept that match alive, and then also your serving run at the very end?
Well, to kind of back that up a little bit, we were so excited, to be able to host in the West Gym, such an amazing atmosphere, and to be able to host, the teams that we did. But the biggest thing heading into this is when they did the NCAA selection show and they did the drawing, we vividly remember Minnesota being just furious that they had to come to the West Gym, and the height of the ceiling and the bleachers and stuff. So it was kind of funny as looking back, and college students, like, we were just upset that they had offended our home court. They were saying that it wasn't a great place to play. So right off the bat, that really fueled our fire. But heading into that match, when especially being on the coaches' standpoint now, sometimes, your team goes out there and battles, but sometimes when you're down 0-2 and you have a really good opponent on the other side, sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. But as a player, we knew exactly what was going to happen. We had battled, and there was no way we weren't going to go five, and that we were going to, go win it. And it just seems so interesting that we think about, thinking about that now from a coach's point of view, that, oh, you were so sure that you were going to win it. But it was a special game. Just the players on both sides of the net, and the way we battled, and just found a way, to get it done. And when I think about the last point, which I believe, yes, I was back there serving, but it's just crazy how those last few points all came together, from a kill to like a miscommunication with the offense over on Minnesota's side to the serve. Like, it was just a whirlwind of emotion and craziness there towards the end.
And you get to serve out that service ace to win it. Everybody storms the court. I mean, just how incredible a moment was that, not only to get the team back to the Sweet 16, but also to do that in what was going to be your final match in the West Gym.
Yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better way to close out my career as a UNI Panther, on our home court. But the coolest part about this program and the fans that have always been a part of it is exactly that moment, because I feel that Panther fans, and especially Panther volleyball fans, at that, especially at that moment, in the West Gym there, but they felt it and were into it just as much as the players that were out on that court and they're cheering, in the on the bench and stuff too. But when you have fan support like that, they're in it just as much as you are. I mean, that's the reason we fought so hard, and we were in it. We loved our home crowd. We loved playing in front of our home crowd. It just fueled our fire. So it was pretty special to have everybody, students, parents, fans, young and old. I mean, it didn't matter. Everybody was out there because they were full of sweat too.
This is the Panther Point of View podcast. We're talking with Kim Davis, former Panther outside hitter and current UNI assistant coach. Thinking about it, we're talking about, I think, 25 consecutive years in UNI volleyball between playing and coaching. How amazing is that?
It's been a really cool ride, and it seems like the years go by so quickly, but each year has been really cool. Each year has been so unique and different, and getting to know more Panther volleyball players each and every year, and to be a part of their growth and development, not only as a volleyball player and as a person, but as I look over, having the chance to really be, you know, with this group and with this staff, and especially Bobby. I mean, essentially, I've been here with Bobby from her very first year of coaching as a student athlete to now, and to get a chance to experience those highs and lows and travels and the people we get to meet, the fans that have been amazing. When I think about what's all gone into those years, I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by some of the best volleyball group I could ever hope for.
You know, and what's it like, you know, having going from starting and end of your career playing for Bobby to now a point where you've been coaching for long enough that one of the oldest of Bobby's twin daughters is actually one of your players that you get to work with?
Yes. Yep. I know. it does make me feel kind of old. You know, and we were lucky enough a couple weeks ago here that we got a chance to celebrate Bailey's birthday on the road when we played at Southern Illinois on that Monday. You know, and I just remember when the twins were born, when Bailey and Sydney were born, our team, some of our team members off of that season, the 2000 season, went down to Iowa City to visit Bobby and Dwayne and go see the twins. You know, this was our first chance to go meet them. And I was remembering that day on Bailey's birthday, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that I was in the hospital holding Bailey, little bitty Bailey, in my hands. And I remember being so sweaty and nervous because she was just so tiny. It's such an honor to, you know, be able to follow those guys and watch them grow from little bitty babies to, you know, both full grown women that are playing on two really great volleyball programs and so independent and living their dream. I love it. And I think it's a really cool aspect.
You know, backing up a bit, when we talk about coaching, what kind of emphases do you have within your position as an assistant coach with this UNI program? Are there certain position groups or certain more administrative and coaching like responsibilities that you have that don't just fall under the simple banner of assistant?
Well, as far as on-court responsibilities, I work with our pin hitters, so like our lefts and rights. I work with a lot of our back row players, working with our serving. So that's kind of typically what I work on as my sections, I guess. I do a lot of our programs, strength and conditioning too, and working with Jed Smith, our strength coach, over there. So I do a lot of that, but there's a lot of little different things that we do between obviously the different recruiting things that we share and just the day-to-day aspects of our program that we do, you know, from goal setting to academic type stuff to community service. So we kind of all have our hand in it. We also divided up our team into a couple different groups, so to help them take a little bit more ownership of the program. So we work on different things of, you know, it could be some locker room things or how to, you know, decorate the locker room or what to put in our locker room, to community service, to recruiting, and how we want to welcome and interact with recruits when we have them on campus. So yeah, there's a lot of different components, and watching film with players, scouting. So yes, there's a lot of things day in and day out right now, especially during season. You know, we spend a lot of time watching film, not only on ourselves, but on our opponents as well. So that's kind of a little bit of a nutshell of what happens here.
A little bit of a lot of stuff is basically what I'm hearing about that.
Yes, very much so.
And when you think about the challenges of coaching, naturally, it's been really challenging within the past year. It's hard to believe we're almost at pretty much the year anniversary where things really started shutting down in terms of, among other things, collegiate athletics. Just how tough has it been the last 12 months? Some of that not really having an opportunity to really be a full fixture in this program and have kind of that normal schedule going. And then now that you're back, just all the different hoops that you have to jump through and all the different things that you have to do just to get a season to come off.
It has really been a challenge. You know, it's just in a world where, you know, we try to have, you know, our schedule planned out to a T, and, you know, this is when we're training, this is when we're doing this training, this is when we're doing this, you know, like when you have, you know, everything very organized and this is how we're going to do stuff. And then all of a sudden it's not that anymore. It definitely throws you for a loop. It definitely taught us how to be creative, how to, interact with our team, and our staff in a whole different level. You know, because once we kind of hit there in March, you know, we were in the middle of spring practice and training and developing our kids and obviously getting ready for the next season. So, you know, when we had it, they had to go home, they were on their own for training and taking charge of that and being responsible for, you know, what we thought was, you know, checking in and being ready to compete, in the fall, for a full schedule. And obviously that had changed too. So that was another thing that we had to adapt to. So it was definitely different, but I think we learned a lot, about each other and a lot about, you know, our program, as those months went on. I give a ton of credit to our kids for sticking with it and working so hard with so many different changes and really taking the opportunity and how special it is to be a part of such a, like a, just a team, and, to have an opportunity to play. You know, we take a lot of that stuff for granted. Whether you're a fan, whether you're an athlete, you know, it was just, yeah, you know, this was there, I can go watch this, or we can go to this game and, you know, cheer the Panthers on. And, when it's not there, it really makes you grateful for what's here. And, you know, I think our kids try to, remember that, you know, sometimes during that grind, you know, it, you know, they just try to remember that, how lucky they are to play, how it's an opportunity, and they do a really good job of trying to remember and remind each other of that, as we continue on through this season. And, you know, it is a very different time. And, you know, looking through this, you know, we have our conference tournament in April, and then postseason and stuff, but, as it looks, you know, obviously we'll have a little bit of time. We'll catch our breath, and then we're going to prepare for what will be our normal season technically in the fall. So very different year, trying to look at a lot of different things with our training and how to take care of our student athletes and their bodies, and, what, looking to the next thing too, of how to kind of plan out for what we can, I guess. You know, COVID has also taught us to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, and I think it's also just good to say really quick that, you know, we're fortunate that we're at a point where we've had seasons with all these different sports, been able to come back and do a lot of things we've had, you know, especially because there are so many in this country that have had worse experiences with COVID-19, and there's hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their lives to this pandemic as well. So stepping back even further, just how fortunate we all are to be at a point where things are obviously not normal, but we're fortunate that we're able to get to do the things that we're able to do these days.
Yes, without a doubt. It's definitely something special.
As you look at this season as a whole, and especially it being a younger group, having the big freshman class from the previous season that didn't get a full spring because of the pandemic, and still being relatively young for this year, just how do you think, given all those circumstances, this team has done with the first several weeks of the season and what it's been able to accomplish thus far?
I think that the kids, the ladies have done a really nice job of working through like hurdles or obstacles, that might, you know, get in our way. And what I mean by that is, you know, they've worked really hard. Our conference has a lot of great teams, a lot of teams that returned a lot of veterans too. So, you know, it's a time where, you know, like you said, we didn't get that chance to necessarily develop a lot in the spring and to build up that team. So when you're trying to build that team and then you add in some more players, some new players too, you know, you're trying to find that chemistry, and building that unit together. And the cool part with this team is that they're finding ways to battle. They're finding ways to rebound back and to, you know, fight for that next point. And, to basically, you know, like they've been talking about, they want to carry on that Panther tradition. And they're going to find a way to be gritty. They're going to find a way to fight. And, you know, that's what I'm proud of. You know, they're working hard. They're growing each week in practice. They're growing every weekend with their game. And as a coach, I mean, that definitely makes you happy.
Is it hard to believe we're already at a point where we're already less than a month away from the conference tournament and we're roughly midway through the conference season just as quickly as the season seems to be going by?
Yes, I was just thinking that the other day, you know, looking at this, I'm like, how has the time gone by so quickly? You know, it doesn't seem like our season normally goes this quickly, but yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, a little bit different for us is, you know, we usually try to play the first 4 weeks of preseason tournaments where we're kind of traveling around, and we got to do that a little bit. You know, it really has gone fast. Can't believe that conference tournament is just around the corner, the beginning of April.
And looking forward at the upcoming schedule, you and I were supposed to have a conference series with Illinois State. The Redbirds unfortunately had to postpone because of their number situation. And you didn't get a lot of non-conference opportunities early on, but you're able to put one back on the schedule in that opening with DePaul coming to the McLeod Center on Sunday. I know you only just picked up this opponent, so there's not a lot you could put out in terms of a scouting report. But how big is it for this team, given the postponement of that conference series, just to be able to get another match and another good team on the schedule?
Right. With, you know, obviously with COVID, you know, we just didn't know what was going to happen. We knew Illinois State had postponed the weekend before, so we just really didn't know what that meant for us. You know, and the unfortunate thing too with COVID is that there's a lot of conferences across the country that, you know, they had put in rules in place that said, you know, no non-conference opponents. So we were very lucky that DePaul had reached out, you know, and had said, you know, hey, if anybody's ever interested in picking up a match or anything like that, we'd love to be an option. And so that was very great for us that we got a chance that we could play this Sunday, so that we're not just, you know, practicing, but we get a chance to compete against somebody else and get in that game-like atmosphere for our kids is really important for our growth. So having the chance to do that will help us tremendously as we grow and develop, but also as we get ready for the next conference opponent. So we were very fortunate that we could get this match all lined up.
That next conference opponent is going to be my alma mater, Valparaiso University. A little road trip to the Arc coming up in mid-March. You know, how different is it being with this volleyball team on the road with the kind of protocols that you have to do versus, you know, what a quote-unquote normal season and normal road trips would have been like in the past?
It's different in the fact that, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations of what you can or can't do, but especially as, you know, team, you know, you try to, you know, stay with your group. You know, if we're eating, you know, we try to space out. So there's a lot of different little things that's just not part of the norm. Our players love to, you know, just to get to know each other and to hang out and stuff like that. So it's also different, though, because a lot of that doesn't happen, too, because, you know, of our playing schedule, you know, might be earlier in the day or, you know, later at night or something. So it kind of is a different schedule for us. There's times too where our players, you know, it's Sunday, Monday. So and a lot of things are on Zoom with classes and stuff. So sometimes, you know, they're trying to stay up with that and trying to catch up with their work. So it's very different. We do miss very much. Our team does a lot of team bonding stuff, a lot of games we play together. We're so competitive that, you know, when we do these little games or, you know, spoons or whatever it is that we're playing, you know, it's very competitive and we miss that component to really kind of get to know each other. So we just have to be creative and we try to do it a different way.
You know, and I certainly miss the opportunity to be on some of those trips, especially because what would this podcast be without embarrassing myself a little bit? I think it was the 2015 conference tournament where we had the film session turned karaoke dance party. That was just one of the most fun things I've been a part of. That was where you lit it up, Chris.
You did great, Chris. You were the star of the show.
I still think the Delaney Bolton tweet with the nerd emoji, that has to be me, right?
I didn't see that one. No, I don't think so.
I mean, I couldn't blame her if she did, because, I mean, fair. I mean, I am a nerd, let's be honest, but.
No, you did awesome. I think you rocked it that night. You stepped right in. You were part of the crew, and you sung your heart out, Chris.
Yeah, I just think the team's getting too young to the point where they just don't understand how big a Rick roll actually is anymore.
They call those songs oldies now. It's kind of hurtful. They do.
Kim Davis talking with us on the Panther Point of View podcast. It wouldn't be an opportunity to talk together if we didn't get at least some Cubs in there, especially because we got to balance the podcast out because Gary Rima had Stephen Fenley, noted Cardinals fan, on the last time. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, and we still managed to get along together. Cubs and Cardinals fans can still be friends with each other and good coworkers together. But if we're going to have an opportunity to talk Cubs before this podcast wraps up, you know, just how incredible was it for the two of us being a part of that 2016 championship season, where, of course, we're not doing anything really in Chicago with the team, but it's happening during volleyball season. That was just such a fun thing for us at a distance to be a part of.
Heck yeah. We were celebrating the Cubs and they were winning and doing well. So what's not to love? So that was a lot of fun. It was great. And it was a lot of fun, and it's always fun because, you know, unfortunately there's a few Cardinal fans, I think, on our team too. So, you know, we look past that and we just love them still. But yeah, go Cubs for sure.
Yeah. Both sides of the aisle, get together when needed. And I know, because I mentioned the media guy before, that you in the past have mentioned the Cubs as your favorite team. How did you end up becoming a Cubs fan in the first place? Do you remember?
Oh, I remember. Actually, it dates way back when, during World War II, my grandpa fought in World War II. My grandma was a telephone operator in Chicago during that time. She lived in Waukegan there, and her and her girlfriends would go to the Chicago Cubs games. So she started off the love of the Chicago Cubs. And as a little kid, going over to my grandparents' house, and she would be sitting in front of that TV and yelling and screaming. And it just got me hooked on watching those Cubs. And she knew all the players, so, you know, I had to know some of them too. So, but she got me started on the Cubs, and haven't changed since.
And speaking of baseball, I remember when the team was at Evansville last month, you sent me a photo from one of the local establishments that you were picking up food from, talking about how A League of Their Own was filmed in part at a ballpark that's actually in Evansville, Indiana, not all that far from where you'd be staying and, of course, where you'd be playing your matches. Just how cool was that discovery?
Well, I'm also, you know, kind of a history buff too. So when I got I love that movie, and you know, ballparks, I mean, how cool. And there's so much baseball history. But I was actually kind of disappointed in myself that out of all those years that I have been traveling to Evansville, Indiana, that I never knew that one of the oldest baseball stadiums in the country ranks right up there with, I think it was Wrigley, and the Boston. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Like, three of the oldest ballparks in the country, and one of them's right there in Evansville, Indiana. So I definitely need to check that out sometime.
I also just need to rewatch that film, just because I'm such a huge fan of Squiggy as an announcer in that movie.
Yes. Yep.
A bit of a light crowd today, what with the tractor show in town, but if you're in the area, and you must be in the area because this isn't a very powerful radio station, why don't you come on down to the ballpark? Bring the kiddies, why don't you?
That is word for word. Good job.
You know, and it's one of those things you just can't work that into like a you and I broadcast, you know, as if it's an actual thing. Whereas in a podcast conversation like this, we could put it out there, you know, like Harry Doyle, Bob Uecker in Major League, when he's going, hey, in case you haven't noticed, judging by the attendance, you haven't. You know, that's not a good one for the brand to try to work that into your own business. You have to go straight quote for that.
Yes, right.
Kim Davis, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Had a lot of fun talking with you. Good luck to you and those Panthers the rest of the season. And hopefully, as soon as we can, on the other side of this pandemic, get things back to normal. It'll be fun to travel with you and the team again.
Yes. Thank you so much, Chris, for having me on the podcast today. And we miss you so much traveling with us. So definitely have to make sure I give you a shout out and a wave when we're on the home court this weekend.
Yeah. And just remind me, we got to have a queue set up so I can actually see it with my binoculars.
From way down there.
All right. Kim Davis, part of the Panther Point of View podcast. Don't forget to download and subscribe to the podcast from wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or at UNIPanthers.com. Special thanks to Kim Davis for joining us on the podcast, also to Assistant Athletics Director for Communications, Jarek Wolcott, and everyone else at UNI for their help in bringing you the Panther Point of View podcast. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. This is Chris Kwan-Anschultz signing off. Keep in touch, take care, and so long.